broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for June 13th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple, ladies and gentlemen, our goal to restore morality in the country. Boy, do we got a problem with that. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. We're going to skip our show notes from the previous, or the recap, if you will, because of the seriousness of the situation. Kirk Cosby's with me. Got him on a phone line here. Technical issues always seem to creep up whenever they least need to be. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You are very welcome, sir. So I want to start out dealing with several facts. Everybody knows what's happened over the weekend, so that's not new news. However, it is tragic. We do have details that others may not have. And most importantly, our take on this topic will be way different than almost everybody else. You know, several good, honest talk show hosts will have similar information because they're honest, because they're after the who, what, when, where, why of a story, just like we are. They're calling it a global jihad, ladies and gentlemen. At least 50 people are dead and 53 people wounded following an attack on the Pulse Gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, in which the shooter shouted, and how do you say this thing, Kurt? Ali Akbar or whatever? I don't know how you say it. Alu?
That's strange, dude.
Akbar?
I'm not sure what it is. Allahu Akbar.
Whatever. Anyway, I don't even know how to really say it, and I don't mean to, you know, mock it or whatever, but it's basically a jihad yell. And then he basically murdered everybody. They say the shooting unfolded Sunday morning from about 2 to 5 a.m. at Pulse. That's described on its website as the hottest gay bar in Atlanta. In Orlando, not Atlanta, Orlando. All right, so the place is called Pulse. It's described on its website as the hottest gay bar in Orlando. Witnesses at first claimed a second shooter, but of course government denies. Now they're saying witnesses don't say anything about a second shooter. So you kind of wonder. Interesting. Now, this guy's supposed to be a U.S. citizen from, what do they call it? Port St. Lucie, Florida. And the guy's name is Omar Mateen. He committed the deadliest mass shooting in the history of the United States. Omar Mateen, they say, called 911 or 911 before the attack and pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State leader. And I don't even know how to say these guys' names. Law enforcement officials told NBC News. So he dials 911 before the attack and pledges his allegiance. Now listen carefully to this detail. Mr. Mateen also had active security officer and firearms licenses, according to Florida records. Now, marriage records show that he was married in Port St. Lucie, Florida, back in 2009. They also, the court records confirm that he was divorced in 2011, so 2 years. His ex-wife, I don't know how to say her name, but it's like Satora Yusufay. I don't know how to. S-I-T-O-R-A. S-I-T-O-R-A. Is that Satora? Then Yusufa. Y-U-S-U. F-I-Y. Anyway, so his ex-wife, Satora, claimed they were only together for a couple of months. He beat me, she claimed. A gunman, that's this Mateen, carrying a rifle, a handgun, and possibly a suicide vest, opened fire on partygoers at the gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, killing at least 50 people, wounding dozens, and taking several others hostage before being shot dead by a SWAT team. At 5 a.m., so this all started about 2 a.m., at about 5 a.m., authorities used an explosive device to distract the gunman. Then the authorities plowed through the club with a vehicle. There were an estimated 320 people in the club when it opened Saturday night. Of course, Obama took to the airwaves yesterday, Sunday, after this gruesome attack. And Obama made no mention of Islam, Muslim, or Islamic terror in his televised address to the nation on Sunday. He says, quote, "We know enough to say this was an act of terror and an act of hate, framing the attack as a hate crime against gays. Of course, to never let any crisis go to waste, Obama used the attack to promote his, quote, gun control policies." Within minutes of Barack Obama's speech, of course, ISIS went on to social media and claimed responsibility for the attack. A former co-worker of Mr. Mateen, a guy by the name of Daniel Gilroy, this Daniel Gilroy was a former co-worker. He's also a former police officer for Fort Pierce, Florida. He told Florida Today that he once worked at G4S security with Mateen. Now listen carefully. In 2014 and 2015, that's according to The Blaze, he said that Mateen acted unhinged and unstable, regularly made homophobic and, quote, racial remarks. Daniel Gilroy further claimed that he complained about these details to his former employer several times about Mateen's unhinged behavior, but they refused to take action because he was Muslim. The massacre, of course, took place, believe it or not, 4 miles, or less than 4 miles, I should say, from where singer Christina Grimmie was murdered on Friday. Yeah, she was shot dead. She was 22 years old. She was shot dead on Friday. She got an event. A popular singer, well-known, came into fame because she was on The Voice. She got killed at her own concert on Friday in Florida, and then less than 2 days later, Sunday morning, the massive massacre. Now listen carefully. So understand that here's what they want us to believe. They want us to believe that somehow a homophobic, anti-gay guy went crazy through an act of hate, murdered 50 people and 53 people wounded, the largest or most massive gun attack in the United States. Blows every other attack away. All right, now, I've got several problems with the narrative with this thing. I'm going to tell you why. You know, they want to make sure that Sam Bushman doesn't bring a bottle of water on an airplane because I could just be crazy. But I've been 50 years in America and zero problems with law enforcement, zero problems with the FBI, zero problems with any of these groups, and they don't trust me at all. At the same time, every time we look into one of these things, you find out, well, the shooter's killed now, dead, so you can't talk to him, find out any of their side of the story. Furthermore, you wonder how many psychotropic drugs are involved. But that's another narrative for another time. Although, let that have weight in your thinking on this case as well. But you got Daniel Gilroy, this coworker, said, hey, man, the guy was crazy. Everybody knew it. Everybody heard about it. You've got his ex-wife going, he beat me. Now, it gets even more interesting because the FBI knew about this guy as well. The FBI studied the shooter years before. Yeah, that's what the New York Times says. The FBI studied the shooter years before. Mr. Mateen underwent screening and background checks, both when he was recruited in 2007 as well as in 2013. And nothing of concern surfaced either time. We've got more. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so I'm going to lay out a lot of this, folks. So listen carefully. The co-worker said that Mateen acted unhinged. And that he further claimed that he complained to his employer several times. Gilroy complained several times to his employer that Mateen had unhinged behavior, but they refused to take action because he was Muslim. Barack Obama doesn't mention Muslim or jihad or anything in his speech at all to the nation. Okay? Now, the massacre took place less than 4 miles from where the voice singer, Christina Grimmie, was shot just a day and a half before. Of course, they were quick to come out and say there was no relationship between the two, okay? Now, the FBI studied Mr. Mateen years before the attack, says the New York Times. So the FBI investigated this guy. Mr. Mateen underwent screening and background checks both in 2007 and 2013, and nothing of concern surfaced either time. So they want you to believe that the FBI looked into this guy, found nothing. His employer, whatever background checks they've got, looked into it twice, 6 years apart, and nothing. But his coworker said this guy was crazy. His wife said he's crazy and he beat me. He called 9/11 before the attack and said, hey, I swear my life to Islam or whatever, or ISIS or what, you know, it's hard to say. We created ISIS in the first place. Barack won't mention anything about Muslim or anything else. Barack uses this to promote gun control. Donald Trump calling on Sanders and Clinton to both resign and calls for a temporary ban on Muslims in the United States. Now, let me understand this then. So they want to do background checks on people that buy guns. But remember, this guy had firearms licenses.
He's calling on Obama and Clinton to resign, right?
Oh, yeah. But he's been calling on Sanders to quit, too, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That just goes without saying, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Right. One would have to quit. One would have to resign, though. So, you know.
Okay.
But either way, your point's well taken. He's calling on all of them, basically saying they're failed. Look, this is going to get worse. This is going to happen again. Now, let me get a few more facts in front of you, Kurt, on this thing. So they don't want Sam Bushman to go on an airplane with a bottle of water because, dude, it could be crazy. But yet they want you to believe in the FBI background checks. We got to do those. We got to do, background checks from employers on this guy. So as far as I can tell, three solid background checks, one by a security company in 2007, one by the same security company in 2013, one by the FBI at the least, and they're all saying this guy's fine. He has firearms licenses. He has security licenses. But the coworker said, I was so worried about this guy already, I had to turn him in. But because he was Muslim, they wouldn't do anything about it. Now, just so you know, not only did he call in to 911 and tell everybody that, A, he was backing Islam or whatever, swearing allegiance to Islam, but it turns out there was a 3-hour standoff in this situation, Kurt, which followed the initial assault with people inside effectively held hostage until around 5 a.m. when, of course, law enforcement engaged the shooter. They used an armored vehicle. They used several different police officers. It was a SWAT team, if you will. Over a dozen police officers and sheriffs engaged in the shootout with Mr. Mateen, of course, leaving him dead. Now, the last statement in this whole thing is very fascinating, delivered to us by the New York Times. Listen carefully. Officials said that it was not clear whether some victims were accidentally shot by law enforcement officers. So let me get this straight. You had an FBI background check. You had two employee background checks. None of them came up with anything. But a mere friend tried to complain, or a coworker at least, tried to complain about this. His wife said he's crazy and he beat me. And then we really dig into this and we find out that, one, 9/11 had a heads up that something crazy was going down. How much detail, we don't know because I don't have the audio recordings. But they know this guy dialed in and was swearing craziness to Islam. And none of that mattered. He still got in a club. Supposedly armed to the teeth. Witnesses speak of a second shooter at first, but now that's gone from the news. Government says no second shooter. Officials are now admitting that they're not even clear whether some victims have been accidentally shot by law enforcement officers. So when you roll in with a vehicle and explosives, and let me get this right, over a dozen police officers and sheriff's deputies, and they say, we don't know how many people were really shot accidentally by our own guys. You begin to get a picture that makes you feel very uncomfortable. So I submit that what we need to do is abolish the FBI. We need to abolish a lot of these background check organizations. Because if this guy had guns, he obviously had to go through a background check to get his guns in addition to the employment background checks. So how many background checks from how many supposed organizations did this guy go through and pass with flying colors? Never mind the coworkers freaking out and the wife saying he beat me and he's crazy. Now, I'm not saying that government could have moved in necessarily and done anything. I don't know the internal workings. But what I do know is this. Every time the government, we find out that it's somebody who had guns legally, somehow all these criminals just obey the law when it comes to getting guns. Every time the person's dead almost, where you don't hear from them. They don't mention whether there's psychotropic drugs involved or not. They don't, and so you get all these details, and all I'm telling you is I don't know the facts in this case whatsoever. I don't know. But I do know, though, that I'm questioning the official narrative. Why did it take 3 hours for this to happen when this guy even dialed 911 and gave a heads up that something crazy was going to happen? What do you do at 911 if somebody calls up and, you know, swears allegiance to Islam? Do you find out where the guy is using the 911 technology? And do you go deploy and check it out? I've got personal friends where 911 was accidentally called. Or, you know, the victim in my case that I know claims that 911 was never called, but the government says so. They went in and literally yanked the guy out of his house, hurt him, took him to the hospital before they took him to jail. Steve Engel, our friend. Well, now this guy calls up and swears allegiance. Why didn't somebody deploy and stop the guy before he could ever go into this club? Nevertheless, where was the security guard at the nightclub? I mean, does anybody have security? It seems like if a standoff happened for 3 hours, a 3-hour standoff followed the original assault. People were held hostage till about 5 a.m., so 3 hours. And then it took over a dozen police officers and sheriff deputies to engage in a shootout with this guy. Well, you think about that and you go, wait a minute. Where's the security guy with his gun? Where are the cops when 9/11 was called before the event even went down? And how does it take 3 hours of negotiation to stop this guy? Did anybody inside have a concealed carry permit? Nobody inside was armed to stop this guy. So while Barack would irresponsibly deny the discussion of Islam in this case, while Barack Obama will claim it's just hate for gays and promote his gun control agenda, we find out that, hey, what if we would have had a good, honest person that could have stopped him with a concealed carry permit sometime within those 3 hours, hopefully in the first few minutes? Where was the security guard or backup security in this nightclub? You have 320 very wild people at 2 a.m. in a nightclub. Nobody's got security for this thing? How did this happen, folks?
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Despite the turmoil associated with the Black Lives Matter movement and concerns over racial themes woven into Donald Trump's presidential bid, there is evidence that race relations are improving in the United States, reports Reason magazine. Racially motivated crimes of violence against Americans of African ancestry have declined over the past 7 decades to the point of being statistically negligible, according to data compiled by Human Progress. The 2014 World Values Survey on Racist Attitudes, which are measured by asking about living next door to neighbors of different ethnic backgrounds, ranked the United States 47th out of 60 countries surveyed. Among the nations where racial attitudes were worse than those of the U.S., as defined in that study, were Germany, the Netherlands, Japan, and Mexico. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, The Office of the Director of National Intelligence on June 6th unveiled a new program called Deep Intermodal Analytics, which promises to produce a common framework and software prototype for activity detection, person-object detection, and recognition across a multi-camera network. In essence, the program would collate inputs from available video cameras into a database that would supposedly be programmed to identify weapons, explosives, and people of interest, and provide that information to law enforcement agencies. This would facilitate a constant real-time view of anybody flagged in the system.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so I don't have all the facts in this case. By the way, this broadcast is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, please think thepowermall.com with incredible deals. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. Go to thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. So I bring up a couple of points in this. The standoff lasted 3 hours. The guy literally supposedly called 911 and swore allegiance to Islam before the event even occurred. How did all that happen? Was nobody inside with a gun? Did anybody have a concealed carry permit? Was there any guns anywhere in the club by the owner or somebody else that could be used in an emergency? What about the security personnel at the front of the club? Usually they always have bouncers and security people and everything else. Did any of those people have a weapon or the ability to fight back? How does a guy call 911 before the event and then there's a standoff for 3 hours? How does a single guy supposedly get off, I don't know how many shots? Some claim that there were 40 shots fired in the building, but 50 were dead and 53 wounded. How does all that happen with a single gun and a rifle? You could say, well, Sam, they got big clips. They could. Yeah, but nobody's going to stop the guy. Nobody's going to arrest the guy. 300 people plus in the club. No one's just going to say, look, we might lose our lives, but we're going to arrest this guy. When a three-hour standoff happens, no one puts together a plan to distract him, hit him with a chair or do something. I just don't get it. They claim the guy had explosives on him, but yet they went in with explosives to take him down. Then officials have to admit that it's not even clear whether some victims have been accidentally shot by law enforcement officers. Witnesses at first start saying there was a second shooter, and now you hear nothing of that. Well, Kurt has a tidbit from InfoWars. Kurt?
Well, you've got Alex Jones, a little piece. Alex is usually, got a lot of good info, and his piece says, headlined, Orlando Terror, a Government Cover-Up. Alex Jones, the founder of InfoWars, cut a quick YouTube video in the wake of the Orlando LGBT nightclub shootings that left 50 dead, 53 injured. He suggested that the root of the massacre went much deeper than radical Islamism, that the government was using radicalized Islamists to achieve a larger goal of control and power. I guess he said in the brief video, the attacks on Orlando were a false flag terror attack. This is all according to WorldNet Daily. He went on to say that while Omar Mateen, the man authorities believe committed the murders in the name of radical Islamism, was born in New York, he was actually part of the tsunami of the Islamic invasion taking place in the West right now. He went on to say our government and the governments of Europe allow these huge hordes of radical jihadis in and have even allowed them in without vetting them on record, landing at airports across the country and not even checking their passports, IDs, or visas. Why? The article says the government's complicit because of a deeper plot, he said. Then the article ends, our governments are bringing these people in and they're allowing them to operate openly in our society so they can attack us and then have our freedoms taken so they can say, oh, we've got to pass laws and hate laws banning your speech because you're making the Muslims angry. Or they say, oh my gosh, we've got to pass other hate laws to deal with right-wingers and stuff, and we need your guns, of course, so you can't protect yourself. I guess he posted the video Sunday evening. Within hours, nearly 60,000 and viewed it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Very strange stuff going on with the details on this. Now, I'm not exactly ready to declare it a false flag for sure like Alex Jones is. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I try to dig into things more. I know this. The inconsistencies are of great, great, great concern. And my fear is if I draw the conclusion too quickly about this, they'll just say I'm a nut. Now, I'm not afraid of being called a nut. I'm just telling you that I'd rather do a little bit more research and try to make sense of this. When officials say that it was not clear whether some victims have been accidentally shot by law enforcement officers, and that's the New York Times, I start to say, okay, so there's 50 dead, 53 wounded, but how many of those were wounded by the, well, over a dozen police officers and deputies that engaged the shooter? With a three-hour standoff, how do you know that people didn't die from other ways? So, you know what? You start to paint a picture here of what damage is done by who. Then a second witness, you kind of start to wonder. I'm going to say this. There's a good possibility there's a cover-up, just like Alex Jones says. And there's a possibility that's a false flag attack. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying we need to be careful that we don't jump to conclusions too fast about this. Although, when Barack starts to use it for his gun control agenda, very interesting indeed. When they don't mention Islam or ISIS, but yet we created ISIS, you start to get some very confusing information. Now, Ben Carson's in the news. Kurt, let's get to that. Then we got a caller to chime in.
All right. So Ben is basically reminding all these, he says, left-wingers that, apparently these people are not really your friends. He's talking about the gays that, typically don't want, this kind of stuff. He says, Ben Carson on Orlando attack, they hate gay people. It's the WorldNet Daily piece. These people need to be looking at that for their own survival in the wake of the largest terror attack. I guess he basically said, hey, it's a reminder of the animosity Muslims have for homosexuals. Anyway, that's probably the bottom line.
And then celebrities are in the news.
Well, that's right. Yeah, they're, of course, now they're calling for the elimination of guns. They want automatic assault rifles, to be banned. This is no big surprise. You got Susan Sarandon, you got Cher, you got a whole bunch of them, comedian Chris Rock, all these different ones saying, hey, man, we got to get rid of guns because that's what caused all this. No surprise there, huh, Sam?
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There's just so many inconsistencies here. Now the blogosphere has got it, and they're pushing for gun control. They're all attacking Donald Trump now. You kind of wonder if all of a sudden they're going to basically just use this to help Hillary get elected and say, hey, you know what? We don't care about anything else. Gun control is the key issue. We got to have gun control to keep everybody safe. Never mind the fact that the FBI background checks didn't do any good. The employee background checks didn't do any good. The 9/11 call in advance didn't do any good. See, we're supposed to believe all this, and it just doesn't add up. Kevin, Florida, you're on the radio, sir.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Kurt. I hope you guys are having a good morning. I wanted to share a piece of very critical
It's not a great morning when hold on. It's not a great morning when over 100 people are wounded and or dead, and your government basically blatantly admits in the New York Times that, man, we're just not sure how many got killed or got shot by our own people. You kind of go, man,
well,
something's not right here.
Then you have to worry. You have to wonder, Sam, how many people actually died on the south side of Chicago in the early hours of Sunday morning as well.
It's a valid point, sir.
That'll never make the headlines. I wanted to share something very critical, and this doesn't pertain to the shooting. It pertains to what happened before the shooting. As you know, Sam, I live down right near Orlando. At 2:45 p.m., I was heading north on the turnpike through Orlando on a 17-mile stretch to go to Clearmont, Florida. And I noticed a very weird phenomenon that morning or that afternoon on Saturday. When I was going up the interstate, there were, I counted about 100 police cars going southbound. The first couple of waves of them, and all of them, most of them had their lights on except for a few. And they were driving the speed limit with their lights on, no sirens. As they were heading south, I noticed a few packs, and I was like, wow, is, you know, maybe Trump coming to town? Do we have a, no, they're not really in a convoy. And then I said, well, maybe, and as I go on, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of cop cars out here. I said, I hope there wasn't a shooting, or maybe there's some kind of exercise going on. And I found it very weird. Not only that, I noticed they actually had two of the police helicopters from the Orange County Sheriff's Office up in the air as well. And I have asked on Facebook, I have asked in multiple other platforms, what was happening? Is Sheriff Jerry L. Demings going to come out and tell us what was happening the day before this shooting with this police presence? I just thought it was very odd, and I guess I'll take you guys' thoughts off the air.
I sure appreciate it, sir. Thanks, Kevin. You know, that's very interesting. I don't know if there was a training exercise going on. I don't know if it was just something totally unrelated or if there's something to that. But that's my point in this case. And this is why I don't want to just jump to false flag yet, although I think there's a very strong possibility. There's just too many things that don't add up. Kevin's example is one of them. What on earth was going on Saturday afternoon with a bunch of cops? Is that unrelated or what? And then you start to look into how many heads up does this guy need to give? But yet, background checks didn't work, but yet they want to increase background checks on everybody.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill, and I feel great.
I had 3 bypass 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all, and it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way he could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, WorldNet Daily just released a piece quoting a lady named Claire Lopez. It was on one of the mainstream press TV shows. And they say the headline from WorldNet Daily is Orlando Shooter a Lone Wolf? Not so fast, WorldNet Daily. Orlando Shooter a Lone Wolf? Not so fast. Anyway, this Miss Lopez gets on the TV and explains about Islam. It says, look, a lone wolf is kind of designed to say someone just acting alone. That's what they're trying to make you believe in this case as they leave the jihad and as they leave Muslim ideology out of it. However, she says, believe it or not, this is not a lone wolf. It is a, quote, individual jihad that is a doctrine in Islam. It's written. It's a doctrine. All right. And so what happens is an individual might go off and do a jihad, but it's after all these calls. This is what, the month of Ramadan? And so she goes on and talks about how they call for attacking Americans, attacking specifically civilians. And then she finishes and says, whether you can show a link to Islam, never mind the FBI confirmed the 9/11 call swearing allegiance to Islam. Before the attack, set that aside for a minute. Those calls act as a trigger, she finishes. Let me say it again. Those calls act as a trigger. And what that means is, you know what, even if there's no affiliation, even if you can't document a tie, the fact is it's a code word. Those calls activate or act as a trigger, and someone decides to go off based on those calls, even if you don't have an association. So, you know, I don't know the, and this is the problem with jumping to conclusions about, hey, this is for sure a false flag operation by your government, or whether it was a government cover-up or some of these things, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if there's witnesses that say there were two shooters or not. I just know that was early reports in the news, and somehow that's been scrubbed. Very weird. Very strange. Make me uncomfortable. Now we have a personal listener of Liberty Roundtable Live that dials in and says, hey, I was in Florida, in Orlando, on Saturday evening, and man, it's kind of weird. There was a bunch of cop cars and everything else. I don't know if it was related, but strange. Then you get this idea that, you know what, he called ahead of time the 9/11, but that didn't stop anything. You got a security guard that should have been armed, was not able to stop anything. You got people holed up for 3 hours with over 300 people in the nightclub, at least they claim, at the start of the night. I don't know how many were there by that time. Nevertheless, a three-hour standoff and nobody can oppose him with a knife, a gun, a distraction. Even on one of the planes in 9/11, ladies and gentlemen, we had several people could put together a plan and rush the perpetrators and stop something. Nobody rushed this guy. Nobody stopped him. Nobody. At some point, it just doesn't make sense. Then the cops have to admit that, hey, we don't know if some victims were shot by our own law enforcement officers accidentally. We're just not sure how many of those people there were. over a dozen police officers and sheriff deputies use explosives, use a vehicle, a three-hour standoff. See, at some point, this just doesn't make sense if there's just one dude, one guy. And so I don't know what's going on here, but it could be multiple things. It could be that this guy did have an affiliation with Islam. It also could be that he does hate gays. Okay? It also could be that that clarion call to attack civilian Americans by jihad, or whatever you want to say, is real. And that the individual jihad acting as a doctrine in Islam turned out to be, when those calls for violence act as a trigger, that could all be true too. It could also be true, since the United States built ISIS and built some of these terrorist organizations, that they were involved. Or maybe they set the stage and they weren't involved. What I'm saying to you is that there could be multiple facets to this that are accurate. The problem is, at what level, who was involved, when, how, where, why, what, etc., right? In other words, was this guy a lone wolf? I don't know. Was there a second shooter? I don't know at this point for sure. How many people did the cops shoot by accident? Okay. Why are they using this to push for gun control? Because we know almost every one of these issues happen in a gun-free zone. Now, let me ask you a question. Does this club allow people to carry concealed or to have weapons and go into the club or not? Was it a, quote, de facto gun-free zone by private property owners? See, all these things are interesting. And so I don't know if the government's covering up things. I just know this. Details to me don't make sense yet. And if it's a false flag, it very well could be. But at what levels, who in government authorized it or knew about it? See, it gets to be very dicey fast. That multiple facets could be true or could not be true. And we don't know. Okay? But we know this. Whether it was intended or not, whether it's a false flag or not, whether he acted alone or not, set all that aside for a second and say this. Your government, including Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, a bunch of liberal anti-gun activists, are running around now using this for their agenda. Know that for a fact, which is to deny us our God-given unalienable rights of self-defense. The Second Amendment codifies. And they're using this to really, really, really push hard to deny us guns, creating the whole nation as a gun-free zone. And as Kevin wisely pointed out, where you see the most violence, the most shootings, is in gun-free zones. And the only way this guy was stopped, by the way, with guns in the hands of good guys. I don't know if the cops were good guys in this case, but I'm just saying, the guns in the hands of the good guys eventually stopped this guy. What if good people in the club had guns that could have fired back, that could have stopped him? Couldn't somebody have somehow ducked behind a wall or a something and waited till this guy moved to the right spot? Couldn't somebody else with a knife or some kind of other weapon, a broken glass bottle? Wasn't somebody in the club in the military or have some kind of a security training as well that could have taken? How come no defense was mounted in this case whatsoever? See, something is not making sense to me. 3 hours long, you know that nightclubs have big bouncers and security guards. You know they do. What happened to all those guys? Did this guy just single-handedly just waltz in there, take out everybody, including the security and all the bouncers and everybody? See, at some point, it doesn't make any sense. So, you know what? I don't deny that Alex Jones very well could be right. I'm just a little more hesitant to draw conclusions about how wide of a net I should cast over this questionable situation. But I know this. The former coworker said the guy was nuts and that the company they worked for wouldn't even take it on because he was Muslim. Barack won't mention Muslim in his speech at all. Never mind ISIS claimed responsibility for the attacks, but they claim responsibility for everything that would go their way, whether they're involved or not. Now, Barack also used the attack to promote his gun control policies. He should actually resign over that very thing alone. What a disgrace. People are mourning the loss of their loved ones, and Barack's running around on a gun control bender. Man, if we would have had guns in the hands of good, honest Americans, this might not have been so horrific. We know enough to say it's an act of terror and an act of hate. I agree with that, Barack. That's the only thing I agree with you on. It is evil. But there were an estimated 320 people in the club when the thing opened up that night. So you kind of got to wonder what's going on. Now, they used an explosive device to distract the perpetrator or the gunman. Okay, did anybody get hurt in that? How many injuries are attributed to the explosive device used to distract? Then they rolled in with a vehicle. Did anybody get hurt with the vehicle that rolled in there? Okay, there's just things we don't understand here. His wife says he was crazy, or his ex-wife. They say he was carrying a rifle and a handgun and possibly a suicide vest. But all the climate is correct. He's a citizen. He bought his guns legally. He had a license. Yeah, he had licenses. He had security officer and firearms licenses. So see, everything is perfect to say, golly, the only answer left is to not have guns. Because even a security officer, even somebody who has passed background checks, even a U.S. citizen. Wow. There's nothing we can do to stop these guys except for take away guns. See, the stage is set perfectly for their agenda. And that alone makes you go, Although, just because it's aligned the stars perfectly for their agenda, that doesn't mean that we know how involved different people may or may not have been. Whether it be government-created ISIS agents, whether it be just Islam and hate, whether it be hatred of gay organizations. We don't know those things. It's too dicey to figure it all out, and multiple things may or may not be factual. We got to be very careful, but what we got to make sure we do not do is allow this to be an excuse to take our guns, ladies and gentlemen, because guns are the only thing that stopped this thug. Never lose sight of that reality. And had somebody had a gun earlier, maybe a lot of people would be alive today. Guns in the hands of good guys become a defense mechanism, a rape me not, a murder me not device. That's what we need in America. And you notice the more, quote, gun-free zone a place is, the more slaughter and mayhem and meltdown and the longer it takes to resolve the horrible situation. Remember that as well. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, hour one in the can, hour two coming up in seconds. This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com.